And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is your boy, the Franchise Spirit, Double B Bad Blood, joined by the mixologist himself, Mr. Chemical Julian, that dude that sends on Sunday, your boy, Sunday Center, and our special guest, the big guy himself, your man Ryback. Welcome to the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast, 30 minutes with the big guy. How you guys doing today?
Good. I'm well. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to this.
Glad to have you on the show. So we understand that... you know, you've been doing a lot of big things over the last couple of months. So, you know, you're lobbying for some big things to happen. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay, Goldberg versus Ryback. I just got to get that out of the way right now. People have been talking about it. You've been talking about it on Twitter. Let's get into that.
I think.
What do you want to know?
I mean, honestly, I think that's a match that people have been talking about for years. Just because, I mean, you got Ryback, who was this big monster like Goldberg was during his WCW run. So you're automatically going to get those comparisons. So, I mean, people have been talking about, fantasy warfare, kind of fantasy matchup in their head, Goldberg versus Ryback. But I think even today, that's a money match.
You know, I'm going to probably get a little heat for saying this.
Reason I want that, though, and for people to know, and is I want to show the big differences between Ryback and Goldberg. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect opportunity. It's the return and the ending. He issued a match. He said he wanted a retirement match. He wanted one last one. He wasn't happy with, you know, the way WWE, the way things ended. I was there, and I asked for that match multiple times. I never shied away from it. I was told straight up they did not want him in the company. I did not want that match. They did not want to make it happen. I left with my injuries. I had to get my health and save my career and my health and start my business and win my trademark and do all this, handle all this bullshit with all this. And when I leave in Goldberg, they bring Goldberg right in with that. The moment I leave with it, it's not a coincidence with that. And this is it's a very real thing. And I talked about it and I got some shit on it when I mentioned it in 2016 or 17 when it happened. I go, they did that, and that wasn't by accident. And now his contract is over. He saw the way things happened there. They got what they wanted out of him with that, and he wants one last one. I know what he wants to do. I know he's not happy with the way things ended, and he wants to show the world he wants to go out on top with that. And, you know, nobody has stepped up. Nobody. He literally says he wants one last match. I've not seen anybody in the pro wrestling world. We've got organizations with little kids that are scared of things. I'm a grown fucking man. I want Goldberg. The return and the ending. That's it. I'm going to show the differences that, you know, as similar as we may be in appearance, our personalities are completely different. This is physical acting. I've said this from the beginning, and pro wrestling is the hardest thing in the world, and I have the utmost respect. I broke my back and shoulder for it. I broke my leg. A lot of people don't know this. At 28 years old in the Nexus, I broke my ankle like Conor McGregor, that ankle flopping. I popped up. I didn't sit down. I popped up, and I had an entire comeback for a minute and a half straight, and I won the match with my leg. I spiral broke my leg all the way to my knee. WWE refused to give that footage or show the fans just how tough it was. We would have put that Triple H video with his quad to shame. And that footage exists, and they don't want people to see it. And that would have done me a lot of favors for people to how much I fucking love it. I literally broke my ankle in three places, flopping around, popped up and kept running, and spiral broke my leg to my knee. I am hell-bent to show people this, my love and my passion for this, and what I've had to overcome to get my health back and defeat WWE in every which way to win everything that I created with this. He's a free agent. I'm a free agent. Feed me Goldberg. That's it. And that's where I'm at with all of it. This isn't like cutting. This is the real deal. Like this is my life. I've had to fight to keep my life and everything that I have. This company tried to destroy me. This is as real as it gets. In a world where people say it's make believe, this is as real as it gets with it. So that's where I'm at.
I remember when you were in WWE, kind of towards the end there, I don't even know if you can call it a promo, kind of where you're standing in the ring and you were going back over each section of your career in pro wrestling. And I think your passion showed through there. You know, you have people like Goldberg who maybe weren't passionate about wrestling during their, you know, their heyday. I think once he had his son, he got a little more passionate about it because it was a big part of his life. But, you know, you are someone, and you showed this on TV, and I've seen interviews where you showed it as well. You were very passionate about pro wrestling. It wasn't just a job.
I love it. I grew up loving it just like all of you.
Right.
And I played sports, and I wanted to do it, and I got into it at 22. And to Bill's defense, and I have met Bill once, and it was a great interaction, very short and brief with that. But you don't have to be, and this is a lot of people, I think this is, I love pro wrestling. I love it more than anything in the world with it. You don't have to love something to be passionate about it to be great at it. Bill Goldberg was great at pro wrestling, and it was one of a kind. And they had an intensity and an aura about him that very few people have that was able to captivate the world. You cannot take away what that man has been able to do. And there are styles to this, and he had a style, and he didn't have to do a lot of different things because what he did worked with that. And then there were a lot of other factors that went into that as well. But I can tell you this firsthand. I've met three people in life. I think I've got pretty intense energy, and I know what I bring to the table. There's three people I've met where I was very impressed by their physical aura and the energy that they possessed. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and Bill Goldberg. Other than that, I've not really felt an energy from people where I go, oh man, like I don't look at celebrities or people. I've never asked for an autograph my whole life. Those are the only three people I've met. I go, I understand why they were so popular. And he's one of the three. So,
hey, Ryback. Hey. So thanks for joining us today. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I mean, you've got the nutrition business. You've got independence dates. Quick question for you. When you're looking to have this set of matches, it's not going to be a single match, but set of matches, what kind of platform are you looking for? Are you looking to do like the indie circuit? Are you looking to go like with AEW? Are you looking to go with like a pay-per-view deal? Like what do you envision where this set of matches with Goldberg will take place?
Ultimately, that's going to be up to him. I'll tell you the next step of this. My first step was creating buzz and just seeing where everything was at with all of this. And seeing, obviously, you get the people that are for it and the people that are against it, then they start arguing. And so that's a really good thing with that. The next step that has to take place is, and I've got the contact that to get contact with Bill and have a conversation. Because ultimately, that's going to be his choice. I could tell you personally, for this to be appealing to me, I want it to be on the biggest platform that it could be on. I'd want, for me, with everything that I've got going on and everything with the WWE that's happened, and like for me, getting media with this, TV appearances, media appearances, so that I could tell my story and tell this story properly. I think that's harder to do, doing kind of like, you know, you heard the talk of like doing it in Israel with that on pay-per-view. I think that's fine. I understand that. And I'm not against that. But I do think it is better served with him and him going, I think that's better to be, I think it would be better to be done at AEW All In if it's something that could be done and worked out. I just think, but there's a lot that would go into that. And that's ultimately going to be Bill's decision and ultimately going to be the organization's decision, if that's even a possibility. I have nothing to lose in this. I'm still rehabbing. I get cleared in July if everything stays on track. And like I'm gearing up and getting ready to try to be as ready as possible with it. But there's a lot of things that have to fall in place. And again, if this is something they already have an opponent in mind for him or something, I don't lose anything by just simply saying I've wanted him. I've said it from the beginning. And I'm just simply reiterating it that I still, hey, I'm coming back. I think it's perfect timing with everything. So, but ultimately you want that on the biggest platform as possible, especially with what I walked away a lot. You know, I wasn't fired. I didn't, I literally walked away from a multi-million-dollar contract to save my life. And I've dealt with, there's been a lot of lies and bullshit put out with WWE. They've created a lot of hate towards me and my brand. The social media account suppression is a very real thing. I'm going to have to pursue that legally at some point in time. This is real stuff that's going on. So for me, you know, overcoming what I've had to get back to this point, I want it on the biggest stage possible. But there's a lot that goes into that, man. And part of the reason why now the timing is everything, and I'm taking on all the lies and the bullshit that didn't, that 2-3 years ago when stuff started happening and I saw some things coming out, you know, like the Mark Henry stuff. And look, I like, now bust it open, call, put me on, let's go. I want it. Let's address all the lies, all the BS, anybody, the cornets, everybody coming at him. Let's talk. Nobody's taking me up on it because I'm calling because they know the truth. In WWE, the Booker stuff, let's talk, backs down. That's WWE. They don't want the story coming out. They thought I was done and they thought they were going to destroy and kill me and they didn't. Now they're going to have to deal with all the bullshit. So, because I've dealt with it for 7 years. There's nobody more motivated or hungry with me as me with this. So it's just, but the timing is everything. And that's why now get the buzz, everything, start doing the interviews. Because 2-3 years ago, I had no, where was I going? I wasn't going anywhere. I was told I was never going to wrestle again. Now I am going to wrestle again. Now it serves me to fix all these fucking lies and the bullshit that got created.
Well, I would say this, straight up facts. You versus Goldberg will sell out an arena. I know it will because it's the buzz. It's the buzz that's been created. You know what I'm saying? There are places like Prestige Wrestling that they're a top indie company. They're blowing the fucking market. They're blowing everything up. Like they got shows all over, and they're like one of the main event shows around. What about New Japan Pro Wrestling? You guys can do something right there. That could sell out the fucking Tokyo Dome. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think it just depends on, again, Bill, what the options are. You know, for me, I'm just going to tell you that the match is as important as that is, the build up to the match, and I'm not talking about what I know and the different things and the story that I have in mind. That's pointless to talk about. That needs to be told on TV, in United States TV. It doesn't, that doesn't serve me to go, and there's nothing against any of the other. The story is the most important part of pro wrestling to me. And the bell to bell, the bell to bell is easy. That I love the bell to bell, but the story fucking matters. The character, for me to show the main differences for people on this, it's going to be outside of and the match is going to take care of itself. But it's going to be the actual story leading up and the personality differences with this. And that's what that to me is where this is a very valuable opportunity with the return and the ending and to show the differences for people that we were never like, and the people that know that. So that's what I'm looking for, where that is appealing to me.
All right. So assuming this goes well, you get a chance to have a series of matches with Goldberg. You do it on the proper platform. You check that box. Who's next? What's next? What are you doing?
Not even worried about that right now. It's get cleared, get Goldberg.
Who would you like to wrestle?
It doesn't. It's all my energy is going into making this work right now. There's no point. It's pointless to worry about anything after that right now. That's a fight. That's like asking Conor McGregor if he was going to fight Michael Chandler. He has to worry about that one first before he worries about anyone else. After that, and this is the same thing, the story and the things and I need to be able to tell and get out. Has to be done first with it. And then I can gauge everything and see. I can tell you though, my mindset with this, and I say this from day one in educating fans, this is physical acting. We don't shame a person in a movie who plays the villain in the movie for saying if they lose at the end, right? We don't say, oh, they failed to get over. They did their job. And this is pro wrestling is physical acting, and every hero needs a villain and every villain needs a hero with this. And I really believe in my mindset with pro wrestling. I don't think you need to be a babyface for 3 years anymore. I think you can come in and you can play a certain specific. I can come in and play Bully Ryback to a T for 3 or 4 months, disappear briefly, and come back and play Hero Ryback if I do it convincingly in the situation is right. And that is, to me, I think pro wrestling has been ruined in a way of having too much programming and television. And there's just so much they got to put just everybody out there. Everybody signs a standard contract and goes and sits in the bleachers and really not too much thought or effort is putting into the creative aspect of a character, because it's just overkill and everybody's burnt out and there's just too much TV. Whereas I've had the luxury of stepping away and watching from the outside. And like right now I'm looking at this one role that I want to play against Bill Goldberg, and I want to tell one specific story, and then from there I can go on and look at the other roles and see. But that's how I view pro wrestling with it, and how I want to show people and what I want to do with it. So
a lot of people's biggest complaint when it comes to WWE and their creative is they do a lot of start and stop pushes.
Yeah.
Where they'll start a push and out of nowhere they just stop it for no reason.
3 weeks.
Did you feel like you were a victim of that when you were there?
So again, my story, again, you guys only see the creative.
Right.
So if you guys are watching just from the creative, that did happen from a creative standpoint. Everything that happened with me stemmed from legal issues dating back to the Nexus when I broke my ankle. And this is what the WWE has tried to kind of put a kibosh on being told with that. You know, I told you guys I broke my ankle, kept wrestling. They tried to save money and sent me to a doctor in Tampa, Florida, Dr. Herskovici, in 2000, I think 10, after it happened. And he botched the entire surgery. He put two screws through my peroneal and superficial nerve. And so ultimately I had nerve damage. I had dropped foot. They thought I was never going to wrestle again. They tried to fire me while my ankle, I was in a wheelchair, and they didn't think I was going to be able to wrestle again. I had to get attorneys and stand up for myself. I kept my job. They were not legally able to fire me. I had to fight to get to be able to come back as Ryback. Hunter, they tried to put me back in developmental. I told them this has been me and Hunter's issues. I had to stand up for myself. And I go, I'm moving back to Vegas. I literally just got my stuff and moved back to Vegas. Got a place here. They put me back on the road. And this is after the Nexus stuff. And after I got cleared, I had a surgery to fix my leg. They found out I was going to be able to come back, even though I still had nerve damage in my leg. But that ultimately, just so you know, that connected to my back. That's why my back issues all started, because that peroneal nerve runs into your back. So the injury was all stemming from the Nexus original ankle injury. But when I got put into the main event, so people understand, the only reason they put me in the main event when they did is that I had it was a $5 million, and forgive me if I'm wrong on the exact specifics, it was in that area, ballpark, $5 million malpractice suit against Dr. Herskovici, open and shut case. We had the doctor who was going to testify that fixed me, that like this was an open and shut case. WWE did not want me following through with that lawsuit, even though they were not directly involved. It was me versus the doctor. They essentially, what they did, and just so people understand, that they took me after I was getting a lot of momentum and got hot. They then inserted me into the main event with Punk randomly. If you look, it was a very random situation when it all happened. Mm-hmm. Cena got an injury that was kind of suspicious that he never was injured. He got taken out of the supposed program. They put me in that match with Punk that was very random with that. The moment, though, they put me in that, and that I had already been working Punk on live events. Jane Geddes was in charge of talent relations at that time, who John Laurinaitis used to be. She then threatened me and told me that I would be fired if I did not drop the lawsuit against the doctor. I was told never to bring anything up with Vince ever about any of the situation that was going on with any of this. So, and they said, everything would be water under the bridge up to that point, all the legal issues, because we had legal issues going on all during this point with me and them. It was a strained relationship, even though I was on TV and doing well. And they go, it will all be water under the bridge, and we're going to take care of you financially if you just do this for us. And because they were afraid it was going to get a lot of bad publicity on the dirt sheets with that doctor, because he'd been sued 10 times in 5 years. They tried to save money and didn't send me to Birmingham like they normally do. And this is where all the problems that we saw play out on TV stemmed from, and that a lot of fans just can't understand. So then as soon as they do that, the statute of limitations ran up like a few months later, but that's when they started really dicking me around. And if you look, Red Hot, I think I lost 6 or 7 pay-per-views straight while Red Hot before I turned on Cena, and was still even getting hotter. Not me and Cena were right there, merchandise with everything, from everything I was being told by the merch people with all of that. I was Red Hot, and then they took away all my merchandise. They cut off all my money that I was making, and then they really started fucking with me after that. So you guys, they put out the things eventually later that it was, you know, different things to make fans think it was me, and it wasn't me. It was the legal things, and it was Vince dangling the carrot, fucking with me, his 48 laws of power bullshit. And that's what people, I stood up for myself day one. I kept a good attitude through all of it. with it. And eventually, though, my back and they were my back and shoulder were gone, and they were giving me the Toradol and cortisone for 2-3 years straight. And I finally just walked out. I had enough money where I was like, I'm done. And I escaped that situation and got out. But they created a lot of lies and a lot of hate for me after that as well. But that's where all the issues came from. And it's for a lot of people, it's a very hard thing for them to understand, but it's the truth. So
it's the same situation with you as they had with Punk. You know, Punk gets staph infection. It turns to a big blown out, like a whole shit storm. And then they want to basically delete Punk from WWE, exactly like they did you.
I think there's a lot of, I'm not as familiar as everything that happened with Punk with him, but I know that was the one thing that was frustrating when he did the interview is I know he was telling the truth on various things with his dealings with them. And because all of us that know how they are with different things mm-hmm. like that. The thing, and then I'm told he had personal issues with me for things going on with things. And then he decided to tell a few lies, and it is what it is on all of that. And he's done that. He's where, you know, this on purpose or that on purpose. And, you know, said I dropped him on concrete. He didn't drop. The table spot was on padding. It was on padding. And that wasn't perfect. The spot didn't go through the middle of the table, but he landed on padding. WWE doesn't do any stunts without padding on that. So that's where it was frustrating for me. It was like, he told certain truths in there and then mixed in a few lies to make himself look like a victim on it a little bit. And that's, you know, I've said, I'd love to talk to him about it. And hopefully one day we do, but I think there are some similarities in our stories of things that have happened with the company that he's not lying about. Most likely from by all accounts, what I've dealt with, I can tell you that people, you know, a lot of people want to support the logo. They're the most evil organization in the world. And I know that with what they're doing with my social media and the lives that they put out, we had to get 15 different 20 articles taken down early in 2016 with WWE partners, their publications, their partners with. And but that was done to try to slander my name and to hurt my brand because they knew I was going to be trying to take it all. But there are similarities with Punk, what he's talking about. He's probably telling the truth on that with the things that happened. That's how they are.
I mean, when it comes to somebody's health, you know, honestly, you can do one of two things. One, you can shit or get the pot. Or two, you can say something about it. Punk said something about it. You said something about it. How long do you think this shit has to go on in the WWE before someone finally just calls a spade a spade?
What we need to happen is we need AEW to keep getting bigger and better and to keep treating wrestlers better and doing it the right way. And then more wrestlers leaving WWE and going there. And that's going to force them to have to change their hand to how they play their hand.
That was my next question to you too about AEW. Yeah. What are your thoughts on AEW and the way that Tony Khan has built an organization over the last 5 years? They've become,
yeah.
I mean, we talk about it every week on our podcast. People watch the WWE not because, oh, there's so much great wrestling there. They watch it because they've been programmed to watch that every fucking Friday. Every Monday, you got 8 p.m., 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You're sitting there for 3 hours watching Raw. For years, you've been doing it. You go to pay-per-views for years. You know it's WrestleMania, it's Survivor Series, it's SummerSlam. It's, you know, like these things are ingrained in you because you have been a wrestling fan for fucking 50 years. And you know that's exactly what you do. And now AEW comes along. You got all these haters because AEW is selling out a building in the UK right now that the WWE is like, well, no one can do that. Boom, now all of a sudden it's fucking happening. What are your thoughts on the comparison between the IWC's hatred for AEW over WWE?
No, well, I think WWE, with the television and production standpoint and all the talent, they put on great shows mm-hmm. with that. There's no debating that. They're the top wrestling organization in the world. They've been around and what they have built, that thing is a monster with that. And I love the way that they produce and the way that they – I love the way that the theme music sounds. There's certain things that I wish AEW can continue to improve on, you know, from a production standpoint. Like, I just think WWE they're so skillful on just the way the colors look on the TV when WWE is on. I'm telling you, there's a reason everything they do. Like, you know, AEW has more of a WCW feel to me mm-hmm. from a production standpoint. But I always loved WCW as well. I loved how they had different feels. But being in WWE, I love the way, like, if you ever notice this, and I don't know if people, I think the theme music in WWE is superior to AEW in the sense of you make a connection to the talent with the music far better in WWE than you do in AEW. That's not to say all the talents. I think certain ones, like Jericho, and there's certain ones that it's just there's a crispness and it just the way it comes through the television and the camera shots. And WWE are masters of this. I think AEW has improved significantly on this end with it. But it's a very important thing from a talent standpoint to be aware of with it. I love everything they're doing, though. And I'm not there. I know people that are there. Everybody tells me the same thing. It's just so much better. It's so much more positive. It's a great wrestling environment. I also hear there's a shit ton of fucking people backstage there that they have a huge roster of people. And that kind of can be a problem with not enough with things. And but that is what it is on that. But like, I just think it's great what they're doing and it's giving an alternative. Pro wrestling fans should be supportive regardless because one, we get more wrestling. You get more wrestlers that are employed making more money and it creates more options and it creates a more competitive environment that hopefully, if done right, can then inspire each company to put out the best product every week, which that everybody wins, you know. So I'll never understand the hate from, you know, the logo haters from one supporting one logo over the other. It's supporting wrestlers. Because those logos can't fucking stand on their own. And that's it. Wrestlers will be able to stand regardless. The logos can't stand without the wrestlers. And I'll stand by that till the day I die.
Absolutely. That's 110% right there, man.
Go ahead. I was going to say, before we wrap things up, because I know you got some things to do, what you're doing now? So, you know, since you've left WWE, you talked about you've started your own brand. You are increased your brand. You've started your own supplement business at feedmemore.com.
Yeah.
What kind of went into that? How's things going with that right now?
Going great and survived the pandemic. You know, we've been around longer than IcoPro now. So for people to know, and I don't know if you guys know, IcoPro never turned a profit. Feed Me More Nutrition actually never turned a profit. So
they never turned a profit.
Bruce Pritchard's come out to make sure to make that known. So let's go ahead and put that on the record. No, I actually, unlike Vince, like I love supplements. I became fascinated when I was a kid and my mom was always had natural herbs in the house. And I started making my own supplements in my early to mid 20s, because I had a thing. I realized there were certain things. I was getting blurry vision, was getting little blackouts when I'd stand up. I was always super tired in the morning, no matter how much I slept. And it was from taking too much aspartame and sucralose, artificial sweeteners. And then as well, artificial colors that are in all these supplements and diet drinks. And so I started making my own supplements and I cut that stuff out entirely. And I noticed a lot of positive changes. So like by the time I got in WWE, I had all my little formula pill boxes. I had my fat burner in one pill box. I'd have my natural testosterone booster in another one. All my Feed Me More Nutrition products, my sleep aid in another one. And I was just making my own formulas, essentially my own protein powder I'd make online with the stevia. And then finally in WWE, I was riding alone and I rode alone so I can get an education. And instead of sitting in the car and, you know, just talking about other people or whatnot, you know, like some of the car rides can happen or just wasting time. I listened to audiobooks every 3 to 5 hour drive and started listening to a lot on business. And there was one, I finally got to the point. I go, what else am I passionate about in life? Because trying to figure out what I would want to form a business around. And it was like, well, I love wrestling. I go, I love weightlifting and weight training. And then I go, I'm just thinking, I go, supplements. There's not a company doing really what I want to do with this and actually have formulas that work. And, you know, so I put my focus on that. And my last year in WWE, I started kind of mapping that out. And then that all kind of came up in the contract stuff and the talks. And I wasn't going to, they wanted my trademarks as well in that last contract that the big guy in Feed Me More. And then the supplement stuff was going to be something entirely different that they wouldn't need to be involved in. And I just didn't like the way things were going. And that just walked out with all of it. And that's along with the injuries and everything. And I got it started and launched it in 2017, man. And here we are. There was a little period there during the pandemic with everything where it was a little nerve wracking with it's just frustrating. And especially too, with this current administration. Fucking schmucks, by the way, these people, this is the first time in my life, politics have affected my life firsthand. My cost had to go up on everything along with just everyday life with everything, but we survived it all. And we're back. The numbers are trending back up again. And it's been beautiful, man, but just essentially it's just creating people formulas that work that have helped me and without any harmful harmful ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors. My costs are 3 to 5 times more to actually create the supplements but we were competitively priced with it. I get people that sign up for my email and text message program. Every week I send out a massive savings. We have like an over 80% returning customer. Like my fans and my customers have made this work from the beginning. So I give them big discounts every week to say thank you with everything on that for signing up in a message of positivity or a thought or a nutrition tip on the email and just a text message discount. And it just keeps getting bigger. It started with 3 supplements. We're up to 13. I've got a full merch line, full fulfillment center in North Carolina that does all the merch. Now that I own my trademarks and I can make all my own merch. I can license anything out, do any deals. I just came out with a hot sauce also with it. But the supplements, I did everything all on my own. While I was injured, when I left, I didn't want to like get addicted to drugs or alcohol or do anything. And the facility, all the supplements were in. I'd get my truck. I'd go load them up every day. I'd kept everything on shelving in one of my offices upstairs. I did all the customer support for 3 years. I didn't need to. I did it though to learn business. I did read marketing book after marketing book, helped guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone, helped me understand the ins and outs of business and getting out of that wrestler mindset and learning entrepreneurship and getting comfortable selling and realizing that I'm helping people benefit their lives with products that work and that have helped me. And with it, you know, I've got people that have lost over 100-something pounds on my products with that and making lifestyle changes. It's like there's nothing more rewarding to me than people emailing me and just saying you changed my life just from listening to you and using your supplements and adhering to some nutritional changes and physical activity. It's like, fuck, that's the most powerful thing in the world with that to me. So that's why I do my show, The Ryback Show, and I talk to people, whether it's wrestling or that they have nutrition questions or whatever it is. I like being able to try to help and give back and with that. And in the process, yeah, I make money, but I'm doing something I love. And it's when you, and I learned this along the way, when you just try to help people with it, things typically just kind of go well in life with it. And with no intent, like people ask me for advice. I don't even sell them the supplements. I just give them advice on other things with it. And I don't worry about it because that works itself out in time with it. But it's just something I'm passionate about and I love. And I'm a big believer, you know, what we put into our bodies, life is energy, food is energy, and we use the best ingredients with that to get people to get supplements that actually work. So it's a cool thing, man, to grow where we are. And I look forward the moment I'm able to get back, you know, I'm hoping to land a big distribution deal, get in all the GNCs and all the stores. And it's been, you know, 7 years essentially of work, 6 years of the company existing. And growing, and it's a beautiful thing that I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Damn, that's pretty good, man.
I'll definitely have to look into that. I need to lose a little weight, so I'm going to check out that weight loss supplement. Now, I heard you talked about it earlier before we went on the air. You kind of have a discount going on right now for people.
Yeah, new customers, if any new customers can save 30%, discount code Ryback30, Ryback30 on FeedMeMore.com. Also, we're doing a free Feed Me More Nutrition Shaker bottle with everybody. It just, it'll pop up when you add your first item, but we've got all the merch on there as well. And then anybody that's a returning customer, feed me 20 for 20% off, but all new customers get a one-time code Ryback30.
All right. Man, definitely. That's
like 50% off right there. God damn. That's pretty good fucking deal. Hey man, thank you very much for joining us here on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out more, go to www.feedmemore.com. That is www.feedmemore.com. Thanks, Ryback, for joining us here. And we'll see you guys later on.
Hold on. Before he leaves, we got to ask that one last question.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, yes.
Where can we find you on all your socials? Okay. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Where are you located? Where can we find you? Because everybody wants to keep in touch. Everybody wants to know when your matches are going to happen, when you're going to be hitting the road. So let us know where to find you. How can we keep up to date with Ryback?
Well, the big thing, I got my Ryback show Monday through Friday on Ryback TV and all podcast platforms. You can find me on there, and that'll direct you to a lot of other things. But I'm at Ryback on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, the big guy Ryback22. My TikTok, I'm trying to get that account free. WWE, ever since they announced their partnership, they suppressed my account. It was The Rock, and then me. I was at 3.6 million. They have kept me frozen there now for a long time after gaining and gaining and gaining.
That's
and
why I can't find you now. Fuck.
I have more followers. And I'm going to toot my own horn on this. Despite not being on TV and creating that TikTok a few years ago, I've got more followers, substantially more followers than anybody in pro wrestling active today. with that. So, and for to go look and see how suppressed the account is. This is the WWE has something fucking coming down the road with what they're doing. What they're doing is illegal and it's not right. And I'm coming for them. It's going to happen because the truth always wins. But the big guy Ryback 22 on that and Instagram and Ryback TV on YouTube are the main things, along with feedmemore.com.
Nice. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you guys later on for the AEW Collision stream. With that being said, Ryback, thank you very much once again. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Ultimate Hater.